Welcome to Church Marketing Conversations, where we dive deep into strategies and insights that empower churches to grow and thrive. Join us as we sit down with top church marketing experts, service providers, and innovators to explore what's working in church outreach today. This podcast is hosted by Jeremy G. Woods, CEO and co-founder of Faith Venture Media. Let's embark on this journey to impact communities for Christ, one conversation at a time.
Welcome to the Church Marketing Conversations podcast, where we explore practical ways for churches to grow and connect with their communities. Whether you're a pastor, church leader, or someone looking to expand your church's impact, this podcast is for you. Today, we're diving into a new conversation about faith-driven entrepreneurship and how churches and ministries can apply key growth strategies. Our guest is someone who spent decades helping businesses and entrepreneurs align and helps entrepreneurs align their businesses with their faith, and his insights can help churches think differently about outreach and engagement as a congregation. I'm honored to have Gerald Rand with us today. Gerald is a seasoned entrepreneur, business strategist, and founder and managing partner of Pana Global, the world's first faith-driven venture studio. With over 37 years of experience across multiple industries, including staffing, tech, education, marketing, and business turnaround, Gerald has a proven track record of helping entrepreneurs scale their ventures while staying true to their faith. In 2016, he founded Pana Global to support mission-driven entrepreneurs and business leaders, providing them with the resources, strategy, and mentorship needed to succeed. Today, we'll discuss how faith and business intersect, how churches can take inspiration from successful businesses, and what practical marketing strategies can help ministries grow. Gerald, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
Good to be here, Jeremy.
Can you start by sharing a bit about your journey and how you went from running multiple businesses and business turnarounds to launching Pana Global?
Yeah, sure. So, I've been at this for 40 years, and I've been leading a venture studio, which is a subset of venture capital, for almost three decades. But I started at 23. I was a believer. I wouldn't say I was a good follower, Jeremy, but I was a believer. And I started my first company at 23 and wasn't making any money and really about to go broke. And I pleaded my case before God, and I went to God and I said, "Look, if you're my father, you must know what I'm doing wrong. Will you help me?" And I went to him armed with a scripture, James 1:5, that said I could go to God for wisdom, and he would give it to me in Matthew 7:7, that I could ask, seek, and knock. And lo and behold, I started getting all these new ideas in my head, and it totally changed my company. And I started opening offices throughout Southern California. That's where it was, in California, United States. And so that was the beginning of it. And what I realized is that God knows everything, and he knows about business. And, you know, I didn't find out till later that we work unto the Lord. So actually my work is worship unto him. But what it did for me is it got me to start meeting with him every morning and to hear his voice, to start getting in the scriptures every morning. And so that, I think, was the beginning. And, you know, probably 25 years ago, I think the ministry bug kind of hit me. We've always been active members in our church. But I really felt like we weren't reaching the community. And so I had all these ideas of, okay, with my entrepreneurial skills, like if I wanted to reach people and share the gospel of Jesus Christ and teach them how to understand God's plan and purpose for life and to build faith, what would I do? And so about 25 years ago, I started my first ministry. And that was kind of this connection between I was an entrepreneur, but now, and there were things that, you know, I thought our church could be doing, but they just, they weren't doing them, and I don't think they were interested in doing them. So I used my own money, and we started reaching people at scale, and that grew into a worldwide ministry. And what we learned was that the same principles for reaching people in business were exactly the same in church if a pastor wants to do them. And so since that time, I've been super active in both. And so what I have found is in the marketplace, there's, you know, especially in the, you know, with startup founders and entrepreneurs, there's so much failure They are so open to God's help, because when you're in trouble, I don't think there's any atheists in the foxholes. So that's kind of a little bit of about my story, the Genesis to Exodus, Genesis to Revelation of it all.
Thank you for sharing. And you've worked with many entrepreneurs. What patterns do you see in those who successfully integrate their faith with their business?
Well, I mean, look at, you know, there's you see a lot of failure. So 90% of all entrepreneurs fail. These days in the startup world, when we look at early stage, and early stage would be those with less than $1 million in revenue, there's two things that they got to nail down. They have to learn how to land customers, so customer acquisition, and then many of them that are looking for investors, they have to be able to land VC for venture capital. But what we know is that of all the entrepreneurs out there, only 1% can land VC, can land investors, 1%. And then the same thing with building revenues to 10 million in annual revenue, only 1% can do it. And by the way, only 7% of all entrepreneurs could do 1 million. So really, we see these behaviors of what is it that the 1% know that the 99% don't know? And so everything that we're doing at Cana Global, which is, as you say, the first faith-driven venture studio in the world. We have a startup incubator, is really about reaching into the marketplace. And today we reach about anywhere from 35,000 to 40,000 new founders that come to us. They're totally open. We get all faiths. So we get Mormons, we get, you know, people that are Christian, but you know, they're probably just barely Christians, you know, and we get people that have been in church all their life. And I think there's a common thread with all of them. Most of them aren't spending too much time in the Word. So they're rarely hearing God's voice. They're hearing lots of voices out there. And so when we look at what we're doing at Cana Global, even though we're firmly a venture capital firm, I think we always ask ourselves, are we a ministry or are we a business? Are we a business that's a ministry or a ministry that's a business? And I would say that there's both. We're very much like the New Testament church. And so we gather, we teach, as one of my favorite entrepreneurs is the Apostle Paul, the home builder, the tent maker. Jesus was an entrepreneur, the carpenter. And there's just a lot to learn from the first century church and what they did, how they were so effective, like multiplying. And that is the big thing. Like the contrast I see today is if we're supposed to be disciples, a disciple should disciple. So if you're not discipling, you're probably not much of a disciple. A disciple disciples, and so that's and so you don't see a lot of that. You don't see a lot of that, I think, out there amongst Christian business people. So, you know, we're out too equipped. We're out too equipped. And like the Apostle Paul used to say, he likes to correct, he likes to rebuke, and then he likes to encourage, right in that order.
From your perspective, what are the biggest challenges that churches face when it comes to growth?
Not knowing how to grow. I think it's pretty simple. I mean, think about this. You know, think about this. If a church, if the mission was to create disciples, okay, so we're not just like pew warmers. Everybody's a disciple, okay? And everybody took on the challenge of discipling. What would happen to the size? To me, it doesn't seem very complex. We make it overly complex. I think the problem is that in most churches we're not creating disciples, and so unfortunately it's kind of like as Christians, as believers, the body of Christ. When we got saved, it's almost like we joined the army of the Lord, but we act like we're on a cruise ship, and we don't realize that we're actually on a battleship, and there's a calling on all of us. And so we're all ministers and priests now. I mean, that it's everybody's job. It's not just, you know, the Levite's job of the Old Testament. It's everybody's job. And so think about this, Jeremy. Today, worldwide, of all pastors out there worldwide, Barna Research says that 60% of pastors worldwide across all Christian denominations, they 60% believe in the Bible, but they don't believe the Bible's the infallible word of God. So I think it starts there, because if the Bible's not the infallible word of God, then who you look to for what the word says is probably some theologian, and you're just getting a man's opinion instead of the word of God. That's the first thing. The second thing is that only 15% of Christians even read the scriptures on a regular basis. 15%. And then only 6% have a biblical worldview. So I think that's the problem in Christianity today that was really clear to me. It was just like we're not creating disciples. And so if we would learn how to really reach, usually when you see a church that doesn't grow, now this is going to step on some toes, but I don't mind because that's all we do at Cana Global is step on toes. At some point, the pastor has to admit, I don't know how to grow this thing. Because if they knew how to grow this thing, it would be growing. So that's the first thing. And I think what stops pastors, and I've spent a lot of time a lot around pastors and led, really challenged pastors in this area, because I think the thing that we ask pastors, and when we started, by the way, just so you know, in Milwaukee and Los Angeles, I'm an ordained pastor. Okay. So on Sundays, we built out an 85,000 square foot facility, indoor outdoor space, in Los Angeles. And on Sundays, we had all kinds of gatherings all week long, but on Sunday we had a church, as people know it. So the question was, how do we reach so many people? Well, we understood some of the ingredients, and what I realized is that, most pastors that I talk to, Hosea 4:6 says, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." So the reason why their churches aren't growing, Jeremy, is they don't know how. And I think that, as you probably know, there's a resistance to learning how. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again. And you'll hear a pastor say, "Well, size doesn't matter." Well, I beg to disagree. The size of heaven matters. And so, if you take the gospel seriously, the size of heaven and hell matters. And so I look at it like a hospital. If you're, one, if you can't get patients, you're not going to do it very well. And then if you get the patients come in and they don't walk downhill, you got a problem.
Digital marketing has changed the way businesses and organizations connect with people. And in your opinion, what role should social media, websites, and online engagement play in a church's strategy?
Yeah, I mean, I think in the church there was a time when I think there was a time when people went to the neighborhood church. That time's gone. I think, when radio first came out, that was one of the first, waves of moving from kind of traditional. So you had pastor, it was really the evangelist that couldn't rely on like steady attendees that had to be good with outreach or, as I would just say, marketing. I know a lot of pastors don't like that word. I don't care. Whatever you want to call it, it's reaching out to people. And so they took advantage of print, they took advantage of radio, and they got really good out of it. That led to television. And as we know now, television's been replaced with media. So it's like on LinkedIn, there's a billion people. There's a billion, if you want to reach the marketplace, everybody who has a job, that's probably in an office job of some kind. There's a billion people worldwide on LinkedIn. And so, for instance, I write one post, maybe two posts a day. I do it very skillfully. I know what I'm doing, but I had to learn how to do it. 2 years ago, I didn't know how to actually do this. I had to learn how to do it. I had to learn new ways. And those one or two posts drive 35,000 to 40,000 hungry founders to our website every single month. I have become because I had to learn how to do it. I've become in the top 1% of people posting on LinkedIn, and in my space in venture capital, I'm number 13 in the United States. You know how I came to learn this? When I was asking God one day, Jeremy, I says, "Lord, Lord, 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 make me the Apostle Paul of the marketplace. I want to take the gospel into the marketplace." It just seems like when people, the people, if we're trying to reach the unrighteous, they're in the marketplace. And then a lot of people that are sitting in the Sunday pews, they forget about that when they go Monday through Friday. Let me be the, and so I had this passionate prayer, probably like a lot of pastors ask, God to do. And my wife and I were watching, there's a YouTube cooking show that we would watch every day. This little lady from Mexico, who's probably like 90 years old, cooking in an outdoor, it looks like a kitchen from Africa, outdoor, it was in Mexico. And she's sharing recipes. We don't even understand what she says, right? She doesn't speak English, but we just watch her show. Comes, every Thursday a new one drops. One day I felt God tugging on my heart and telling me, "You say you want to be the Apostle Paul to the marketplace, but look at this lady." And the prompt he put on my mind was, "Go see how many views that lady gets." So Jeremy, she does a recipe for, enchiladas, tacos, some kind of Mexican food. Dude, she's getting like 10 to 20 million people watching those videos. And she's probably making a fortune too because she's monetized. Now, what I gather, she's probably got some young people around her that knows how to do that, because there's no way that lady knows how to do that. But what God put on my heart is, Gerald, you have me. And that lady's got tacos, but you're reaching nobody on LinkedIn. And she's reaching, every time she drops a video, she's getting 10 to 20 million people. If she learned how to do that, why won't you learn how to do that? So I got convicted. And it actually took me 6 months. So what happened? I made a request of God. Let me be the Apostle Paul of LinkedIn. Oh Lord, I'm just all yours. I'm your servant. Blah, 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 blah. So then, so I got an assignment. All right, then go learn how to do it. You want to do it, go learn how to do it. Because I didn't know how to do it. I didn't have any followers. If I ever posted, nobody ever saw what I posted. So I had to learn how. I had to, and it really took me like 6 months to be obedient. That was about 2 years ago. But today I have 26,000 followers. I can write a post today, Jeremy, and that post 5 million people will see it. And that's driving all this traffic. Now, before I learned how to do all this digital stuff, when I launched the His Plan, My Plan ministry years ago, I used radio. And I created a whole online curriculum. Nobody had done this back then. I mean, it cost me back then, I spent $150,000 building out the technology because YouTube wasn't around like it is today. It was just for these really short videos. And I basically had kind of like preaching videos. And by the way, but after we built this online site where people could go and learn all this stuff online, like on-demand videos, that kind of thing. And God, I went to God and I go, okay, we built this website, we built all this stuff, but how's anybody going to ever find us? So I went to God, who knows everything, and he gave me a strategy. And the strategy he gave me didn't make any sense to me. It was supernatural. It was 4D, it wasn't 3D. What he told me to do was like telling the children of Israel, march around Jericho 7 times. And I told God when he gave me the strategy, that'll never work. You don't understand these radio stations. Basically, he gave me a strategy to get $60,000 a month of free radio in the top stations, in the top stations in the first city that we went to. And I told God, you don't understand radio. You don't understand business. You don't have, and what I was doing, I was like the children of Israel that saw Jericho, and they saw the obstacles and they saw the opportunity, but all they came back to report was the obstacles. They came back and they had a list of reasons why they couldn't do it, right? And what I always say when people are doing that is their big fat butt has gotten in the way. What do I mean by that? Religious people listening to this. What I mean is that when you see obstacles, we go, yeah, but God, yeah, but God. And what we're doing is we insult God because he says, no, if you'll listen and do it the way I said it, I'll make miracles and I'll make it happen. So when, get this. So the first time, so I had, I you know, the, when I first got into ministry, I told my pastor, I says, look it, I want to go reach. I think we could reach people we're not reaching. And I remember the first time I said, I want to teach this curriculum called His Plan, My Plan. I want to teach purpose. I know I'm not a pastor. I know I'm not, I've never been to ceremony. But if I spend my own money for the spots that will drive people in, will you let me do it? He says, of course. So I spent my own money, packed the place out. Then I started, that's later when I built all the digital stuff and I started doing radio and, what I was just talking about. We started getting 15,000 new people a month. Do you know any pastors that would love to get 15,000 new people a month? Now, it took skill because we were taking the gospel to people that weren't interested in the gospel. Like right now, when we're reaching people in the marketplace, none of those people are looking for God. They're not looking for God. They already have kind of their mindset. But Jesus says, I came for the unrighteous, not the righteous. So, but I know their problems. Like if we wanted to reach a bunch of hungry people, it's pretty easy. We'd make some sandwiches, we'd invite them in, we'd say, before you get the sandwiches, you're going to hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ. They'll say, sure. Some of them would get saved. If you're going after people with a problem, you just got to go in with a solution. That is 101. So today we know that on LinkedIn, there's 1 billion people. 70% of every person on LinkedIn worldwide wants to become an entrepreneur. That's their desire. They want the freedom to create wealth. We also know that the same percentage are looking for purpose. They're not looking for God. What they don't realize is that you'll only find purpose through God. So we have learned how to, not every message is out there screaming the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're just dealing with some practical needs because I'll tell you this, you can't eat the fish till you catch it. You can't gut the fish till you catch it. So if you've watched my post, you know that about, I post 7 days a week. Probably five of my posts, I'm just posting, helping people with the problems of being entrepreneurs. But there's probably two or three posts that I'm talking about God, and I'm going deep into God. And if you watch my stuff, I'm always talking about the scripture because I have a only 6% of Christians have a biblical worldview. I have a biblical worldview. I see the culture through the lens of scripture, not the other way around. So I don't see the scriptures through the lens of culture, and as culture changes, then my view, then the scriptures change magically. I don't see it that way. And I don't, I not only believe, I not only believe that the Bible is the infallible word of God, I got to do it. So I would say that if only 6% of Christians have a biblical worldview, even less, maybe 1% actually do it. So that is, so digital, it's just new ways of reaching people. And so there was a long time pre-COVID. In fact, there was a group, it was a Baptist denomination that came to see what we were doing in Los Angeles. And they're like, how do you guys get all these people? Like we have all these dying churches. They had like hundreds of churches in this town, but they were almost all empty and beautiful places. And not one of those pastors were founder pastors. They're all on salary. So there's no incentive for them to do any better. A founder pastor is different. A founder pastor doesn't eat dinner if he doesn't get some people in there. I think that's there's a difference in motivation. But these were all salaried pastors that were, they get moved around by the denomination. And so I went out and met with all these pastors and I says, well, you got to be able to evolve. You got to be able to evolve. And you don't have to water down scripture. In fact, the less you water it down, the better, because people are looking for truth. They didn't like all the digital stuff because they believe that the only way to hear the word of God is you show up in person. Right? You got to show up in person. Online's not going to cut it. We don't like online. Well, Jeremy, what happened during COVID when they wouldn't let people worldwide meet in person? What did all of a sudden the pastors shifted their strategy? And online was magically, just like that, it was acceptable. But most didn't know how to do it. From pastors that really said, hey, if we don't put together online and do it effectively, we're going to have to lay off everybody. We're going to shut down. But the interesting thing that happened was those that really went in to learn all the new things with digital, all of a sudden they found themselves. Maybe before that they were reaching people with a 5 mile circumference around their facility. All of a sudden, Jeremy, they're reaching people from all over the world. That was one of the things that we realized when we left our facility in Los Angeles. We realized that we were only reaching people in Los Angeles. We could only reach 5 miles around us because anything over 5 miles in the evening when we did most events was over an hour drive. So it was like a 5 mile circumference around our building. In 2019, I felt the Lord nudge me to take everything that we're doing, which is tons of events, all this kind of different things, and take it all online. And I was like, how are we going to do that, Lord? How are we going to do that, Lord? Well, what hit Jeremy in 2020?
COVID.
COVID hit. It didn't hit us because we were already worldwide by then, and we didn't miss a beat. And so today, on Thursdays, if somebody comes to Startup Church, which we do every Thursday, we have about 800 people signed up. We get about 60, 70 that show up. We have events all over the place. What are we doing? We're spreading the gospel. We're gathering online. We're gathering in person. We have all these different versions of it. But what we're doing is we're getting the gospel out there in the marketplace.
Amen. And what you were talking about earlier about the 12 spies made me think of this, the SWAT method, that two of the spies were seeing all those, seeing the strength of God and the opportunities, and the other 10 were seeing the weaknesses that they had and the threats.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what we see when we go to take territory. We see obstacles and opportunities. And what happens is when we focus on the obstacles, we actually get into unbelief, which in my opinion is rebellion against God. It's very insulting to God to get into unbelief because we don't think that he's good on his word. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. We know what his word says, but we don't think he'll honor it. And I think what you hear a lot is, well, we tried that, it didn't work. We tried that, it didn't work. No, it tried you and you didn't work. It's like you have to learn, I've been watching you create content on LinkedIn for a long time. It's not easy. How many posts I wrote where I pour my heart into a post and I wouldn't get one comment or like? None. None. And it was kind of like 2 Kings with digging ditches in the desert. You have to show up and do the work. You have to, if God tells you march around Jericho 7 times, you march around Jericho. It doesn't matter. If we're operating by faith, then only then can we see. If we're operating by sight, we're going on our everything physical, our mind, will, and emotions, basically our soul. So we're not capable of learning because we just want to do things kind of our way. I mean, think about this. How did the disciples, when they got filled with the Holy Spirit and they went to Ephesus, how did they get there? How did they get to Ephesus from Jerusalem? They take a jet?
No.
They walked.
You won't.
Okay. When maybe they rode a horse or something like that. I don't know. Okay. When cars came along, what are pastors doing? Are they still walking or riding on a donkey? No, they're in a car. When the airplanes came out, what are we doing? We're on the jet. You have to advance. We're always very hypocritical because, you don't see too many pastors with outdoor plumbing. When the indoor plumbing came, they have it. They have it in their hose. But they're ignoring things that they, and look at. I know, so older pastors have been around for a while. I'm 63 years old. I've been a good entrepreneur, so I understand how this works. But every year, Jeremy, I have to learn new stuff. As things shift, you shift or you get left behind.
All right. And where do you see Canon Global in the next 5 years, and how do you hope to impact faith-driven businesses and organizations?
So when we started, so I've been doing something very similar to Cana Global for about 3 decades, but in 2016, God gave me a new call, and that was to reach people outside of our portfolio of companies that we would invest in or grow. And so it's to reach people at scale. And so God gave me a bunch of different things to do that were all part of the mission. And so for instance, what do we do with this 35, 40,000 people that come to us? Well, we have, 3 different types of gatherings that we do on a regular basis here. We have an incubator that takes people from, start to finish. We have a venture studio which grows people, grows companies, to scale. And so we have all these different things that we're doing. This year, we're launching two big projects. So we're launching a global news site, and we're building it in a way where we can, it'll attract 60 million viewers a month. And And so we have a whole strategy from doing there. So they're coming to our site. Are they coming for the gospel? No. We're not even, we don't even want to be considered like a Christian news site. But guess what's going to happen? Guess what Gerald Duran's going to do if 60 million people are coming to my site every single month?
Give
They're
them the
going to get saved.
gospel.
They're going to get saved. Yeah, that's what's going to happen. So we're dealing up news different. It's all AI driven. And the AI, so it replaces the whole staff of reporters. It's gonna pull the top 25 stories worldwide, depending on where the person's coming from. So that's the first thing. When they get to the news, we're not gonna give any opinion. We're gonna say, here's what happened. We're gonna have a right view, a left view. So there's gonna be these two panels on the right and the left of here's what happened. A kind of a conservative view, kind of a leftist view, and then at the bottom we have this other one that's a biblical view. So that's the very first thing that we're doing. We're using AI. So what we're going to be able to do is if we have people interested in the same things from all over the world, they're going to be able to, if they want to, see who those people and engage. We're going to build communities where they can engage online. But if you're from Romania and there's 70 people that are within 25 miles of you or whatever distance you set, now it's going to say, hey, Jeremy, there's all these other people. Some are followers, some aren't, but they like the things that you're talking about. And there's all these events to gather. It's just using technology. Imagine doing something like that, and the gathering happens to be at your church, right? So that's one of the things. We're going to be doing events where we go into
Powerful.
our events are going to be like Billy Graham crusades. It's just that they're not, the reason for them showing up is going to be different, but I guarantee you people are going to get saved. Everywhere we go, people get saved. So then instead of regular podcasters, so we're building a whole suite of podcasters, which is like the number one source of information. Like Trump got elected because he was on all the podcasts. It's replaced mainstream media. So, but all of our podcasters are going to be faith-driven. So we expect to see like pastors on our podcasts, and we're going to grow them. We're going to give them all the technology to do it. There's something else that there's something really popular today. It's called Mindvalley. It's a very leftist app. It's really about like the top. It's almost all non-believers and any kind of pick any subject in the world, and they have training courses and all this. We're building out. It's a whole educational platform, but it's all faith-driven. So what's going to happen? You're coming in for the news, but and then the ads that are going to be on our company, they're all going to be from faith-driven founders that are part of our studio. And so we're not going to charge any of our, we're not going to charge any of our, so we're doing something that's really unique. That's the first thing. The
Yeah,
second thing that we're
that's
doing,
really powerful right
yeah,
there.
it's one of the, it is the reason why, I mean, this is all God's idea, not mine, but he gave me a bunch of things to do. I've completed all the assignments. So the news site is one of the biggest. The second thing that we're doing is we're building startup towns across. We're starting in America, and we're going to expand them through the world. Everywhere where we build a startup town in America, we're going to build one in a sister city someplace else. What's a startup town? We're going into towns that have fallen into economic decline because people have moved away. And there's these pastors, good pastors in these towns that have these empty churches because people, the young people have moved away. Well, we're going into those towns and we're buying up real estate because we can get it real cheap. We're picking really beautiful towns that are like, but they're decimated towns. So it's like the book of Isaiah talks about. We're taking those towns, we're building out housing. And then guess what we're doing? We're creating little Silicon Valleys all over the United States. So little communities, we're recruiting in faith-driven entrepreneurs whose job is, and we're building out in the center of every town in their downtowns that are usually kind of, dead. And you see this all over the world. You see this all over the world. And we're building out a gathering spot. The Jews are really good at doing this. Like in Brooklyn, they have all these gathering spots where people from all the different kind of tribes in the Jewish faith come. And they gather, the kids go there after school, they have concerts there, they have dinner there, they do things, they gather. And so we're going to do that in the center of each town. And what we're doing is rebuilding cities. And so that's what that is. What's going to be the other thing that we're doing is rebuilding food supply. Because in America, and this is happening all over the world, the government, big food, and across the government, they have shut down farmers, and they want to control food. And big food is in cahoots with big pharma. And so it's in America, most of our food supply is tainted with chemicals. And so, the problems that we see today are, it's like at a really young age, all kids are getting put on Ozempic. It's Ozempic. So they're making people sick enough, diabetic, all these other things. For life, they're on a pharmaceutical. Well, there's a big move with Trump's new administration, and this is there's the separation of goat nations and sheep nations that's happening across the world. Food supply is becoming a thing, and so what we're going to be doing is investing heavily in farmers that really have learned how to prosper and multiply land for vegetables, for meat, for things that end up on the shelf, and then we're going to sell those goods on our news site. But we're so those are the two big things that we're doing. But we've asked God, let us reach a billion people. Let us reach a billion people. And so, I'm 63. I've got the the next 2 decades planned out of what I'm doing. So I'm going to be doing this, and then of course, raising up the next generation that will take this up. But I think the thing that we're seeing, Jeremy, is worldwide we saw a great shaking. It's probably COVID, and this has happened throughout history over and over. That shaking has created an awakening, and we're seeing people get awakened. I mean, all this wokeness and transgender nonsense and all this, where in certain, I don't know what it's like where you're at, but like in the UK, you can't even pray silently. If they catch you praying silently, they can put you in jail. In Canada, where pastors refuse to close down their churches, right? Because they realize, hey, they're shutting us down, but the strip joint down the street, they're keeping that open. That's essential, but the church is non-essential. So they took a stand, and people jailed and things like that. So there was a great shaking that has led to a great awakening. There's a very much, I would say, a Christian populist movement that's happening all over the world, where the citizens are saying, we want God back. We want God back. We have all these ungodly leaders that are doing ungodly thing. That awakening, which is happening, is creating a repentance. People are saying, we ignored what you told us, just like the Jews did, in Numbers and Deuteronomy. And we have let these ungodly leaders, and we're not separated. We're doing all the things that they're doing. That's it. And so this repentance is really leading to a revival. But you know where the revival's happening, Jeremy? It's not in the four walls of the church. It's in the marketplace. Because think about this. Did the disciples stay in the building? No, they were sent. The church, Jesus said, my ecclesia, it's not even a place, it's a people.
Called out.
So they got sent out. So what we're seeing, what I believe we're starting to see right now, is revival happening all over. It's in the marketplace. It, very much like the first century church. They weren't hiding out in buildings, they were gathering all over the place. And so this repentance and revival's leading to a reformation. That's what we're seeing across the world right now, that's leading to a transformation. I think too many Christians have thought the world's gone to hell and we're going to hide out, and because we don't realize that we're on a battleship, not a cruise ship. Jesus says, I came to destroy works of evil. Well, and he told us we would even do greater things than him, right? I mean, he had to walk everywhere. We could use digital and reach the whole world, right? So I think that what you're seeing right now is you're going to see, I think there's a, what we believe is that there's a lot of pastors who have stayed true to the word, but they've really suffered. I think you're going to see their churches full again. I think that you're going to see, if you read Revelations 2, 3, 4, you see God's scorecard on the church. It's not good, Jeremy. Like the scorecard's not good. It's not good. God's not saying good job, everybody, right? In Revelations, when you read about the church, and that those scriptures are good for every generation, right? It's not just he's looking back and giving everybody, he's talking about what's going on. It's actually the churches that are under all the hardship that are doing the best job. Because, and so I think so that's what our future is. We see ourselves as the remnant that God has called, and I think there's just millions and millions of people that are rising up, and they're saying church is no longer a place to go. It's a people, and it is not just the pastor's responsibility to do everything. It's ours. The pastor is equipping us. He's teaching us, right? He's teaching us, but we're supposed to do something with that. If you're in law school, at some point you got to leave the nest and go practice law. Well, disciples have to go disciple. And if we were doing a good job of that, if we were really doing it, wouldn't the church explode?
If a church leader or entrepreneur listening wants to learn from you or work with Cana Global, where should they start?
Just go to our website, canaglobal.org. So it's a .org, not a .com. And as soon as you get there, you're going to see these buttons all over the place. Start here. And that's where you start. And come, and it doesn't matter. I mean, and by the way, we have all kinds of pastors that join us. And on our team, we have I'm a pastor. We have another pastor that's on our small town. And we're just, we're just modern day disciples. That's what it is. But when we looked at our blueprint, we said we're gonna look at the first century church and we're gonna do what they did.
Gerald, this has been an incredibly insightful conversation. Thank you for sharing your wisdom, experience, and practical advice on how faith-driven leadership and marketing can transform both businesses and churches. For those listening, if you want to connect with Gerald Duran, visit Cana Global's website at canaglobal.org to learn more about the work they do. And you can also follow him on LinkedIn and I believe Instagram as well.
I'm not
Or
on
check
Instagram.
out.
We are there, but it's
Yeah, LinkedIn is
X
your
and
big
LinkedIn is
area.
probably the big place right now. Yeah.
Or check
All right,
out
my
Cana
friend.
Global's. Sorry, what?
I said thank you, my friend, for
Thank
it's an honor to be on your podcast.
you so much. Before we wrap up, I want to encourage you to take at least one insight from today's conversation and put it into action. Whether it's rethinking your church's outreach, refining your messaging, or using digital tools, small steps can lead to a big impact. And if you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe, leave it a review, and share it with someone who can benefit from this discussion. Gerald, thanks again for joining us. It's been a pleasure.
All right, my friend. Thank you.
Until next time, keep moving forward in faith, and we'll see you in the next episode of Church Marketing Conversations.
You've been listening to Church Marketing Conversations. We appreciate you joining us today and hope you walk away with actionable strategies to grow your church's impact. For more episodes, subscribe on your favorite podcast platform and visit faithventuremedia.com for additional resources. Until next time, keep spreading the word and making an impact in your community.